Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how's it going?
I am doing wonderful and glad there are no comets headed for me, as far as I know.
I mean, it could be like a millennia away. We don't know. It might not be visible. Be hidden,
it's true.
Hidden behind something, or be so small that it's not broadcasting off light, or...
That's true, and all we have to do is just, you know, launch a nuclear device into orbit to, you know, fix it, so not a big deal, right?
No, but we have to have a team of miners that could go up to the...
I believe there were oil drillers, Robbie. Come on.
Yes. That fiction... That non... that thing that actually happened, that historical event where Bruce Willis led a team of men to plant a nuclear device within inside a comet or meteorite or whatever it was. Was it a comet? I believe
they called it an asteroid.
Asteroid? Was it a... That was a comet. And I don't know what it was. It was a very big thing.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. You can support us and get access to all of our bonus content, including new episode reviews, weekly written articles by us, by me, bad drawings from us, bonus episodes on a monthly basis, and much, much more. Please go check it out. We really appreciate everyone who helps us out, everyone who supports this show remains ad-free because of it. Also, if you'd like to help us out, go to iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play Music, right? Is that it?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, yep. And give us 5 stars, subscribe. All those things really help us out, get us more listeners, obviously. So recommending us to a friend, also greatly appreciated. This week's episode, Bart's Comet. Episode 2F11 originally aired February 5th, 1995, written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Bob Anderson. Two quite prolific men, both wrote and directed many episodes. Bob Anderson's still working on the show in some capacity. Let's see, finished 33rd in the ratings, tied with The X-Files and Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Nielsen rating of 11.3, fourth highest ratio on Fox that week.
Did you say Hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, tied.
Oh my god.
Tied 33rd. It was both, they all had the same Nielsen rating, I assume.
That's crazy. I mean, I can't imagine that Hanging with Mr. Cooper ever got close to how good The Simpsons was. This depresses me.
I watched Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I cannot remember anything about it.
Nope, nothing at all.
Chalkboard gag. Cursive writing does not mean what I think it does.
No, it does not.
That's a good chalkboard gag. The couch gag is done in the style of Fleischer Studios, or easier to remember, Betty Boop. It looks good.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's an old style. It's just the way it looked in that time. It's fine.
It's true. It's just also terrifying.
If you watched it at the time, it was cool, I'm sure.
Probably. It still scares the crap out of me.
Okay. The episode begins with the Springfield Elementary celebrating Science Week.
Woo, science. Hurrah for science. Woo.
Precisely. And for the grand finale, they are launching a weather balloon.
Our grand finale, the launching of a weather balloon.
Yay, go weather balloon. Hurrah for science. Woo.
Hurrah for science. Woo. Well, I can't say I approve of the woo, but the hurrah was quite heartening. Release the balloons!
This episode has tons of great gags, and that is one of them. And they release the balloon. And Bart, of course, is... you heard him happy there. A little bit out of character for Bart to be happy about something relating in science and education. And we find out why, is that he pulls a string and the balloon turns into like a giant floating Skinner that says, "Hi, I'm a big butt Skinner."
And it's wonderful. It's exactly what this world needs.
So Skinner quickly realizes what's happening, asks all the kids to throw rocks at it to destroy it. Does not work. They just find
out.
They hit his car and he... after telling them to stop, Nelson.
The bullies.
Nelson plus Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney just throw more rocks at Skinner's car. The groundskeeper, Willie, is ordered to destroy it. He shoots his shotgun at it. There are some American fighter jets just flying by,
which are way, way too close to the ground. There's no way a shotgun could ever threaten a jet like that unless it was taking off or landing.
They think that Willie is firing at them, not just in their general direction, and they target him with missiles, which lock on him as an Iraqi fighter jet. He is not. But the missiles end up blowing up first the one jet, and then that jet fires again and blows itself up. And then the two men, it's the most absurd gag, the two pilots, as they are floating down in their parachutes, one criticizes the lack of the shortening of the military budget as the problem for this, and then they're like having a political discussion argument in the air, and then their parachutes disintegrate, they land, and then they have a fist fight. And
well, to be fair, I mean, if you are going to take money away from the military and put it into healthcare, I mean, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. We're going to have a tough time shooting down those Iraqi fighter jets who are actually people inside the U.S. I mean, what else can you do?
I'm not getting into this. It's a very complicated situation, which I don't want to inspire hatred from any particular group of people. So I'm just going to move on. Skinner's trying to figure out who did it, and Bart is an obvious culprit.
Obvious.
Let me see. We'll see. Here's a clip.
It won't come down for months. Curse the man who invented helium. Curse Pierre Jules, says our Jensen. Now to find out who did this. Bart, empty your pockets.
Empty my pockets, you say? Well, certainly, but I fail to see how...
Blueprints of the dummy. Notarized photos of you making the dummy. And an alternate wording for the banner, Buttzilla.
Richard, Utah Millhouse. Okay.
I am going to punish you for this, Bart. And it won't just be a simple caning this time. Because you have impeded science, you must now aid science. Yes. Starting tomorrow, you will assist me with my amateur astronomy. Taking down coordinates, carrying equipment, and so forth. 4:30 in the morning.
There's a 4:30 in the morning now?
It's so much in this. There's like the Bart documenting his creation of all this stuff
and notarizing it.
I mean, it's very important to have a notary ready at whenever you need. Bart wakes up at 4 a.m which is quite early in the morning. There's the radio is informing him there's no news yet, it is too early. This is a very small thing, but the pets are watching television. I don't know.
They're watching Lassie, which is great.
Yeah, there's so much character in this episode for everything. Like, it's just a joy to watch. Bart eventually gets to... It is at the school, right? That they're doing the astronomy?
Yes, they're outside the school.
Yeah, and Skinner is there. And Skinner is hyped! Like, this is a fun thing for Principal Skinner. Like, you can tell, like... He likes doing this. Like, he probably got up that early and was, like, amped up just because he gets to, like, enjoy astronomy.
Well, he's an ex-military man, so I assume he gets up at 3 o'clock to work out every day.
It's probably true. Skinner, I guess, details for Bart the fun of astronomy.
There's nothing more exciting than science. You get all the fun of sitting still, being quiet, writing down numbers, paying attention. Science has it all.
Is that the telescope we're going to be looking through?
Yes, but you won't be looking through it. I forbid it. But you don't need a telescope to enjoy astronomy, Bart. There are all the constellations you've heard so much about. There's Orion, the Swan, the Chariot Race.
Why don't they look anything like their names?
Well, you do have to use your imagination. Look, there's the Three Wise Men.
Who names these things anyway?
Whoever discovers them. I've been hoping I could find something that would be named after me.
And you've never found anything?
Once. But by the time I got to a phone, my discovery had already been reported by Principal Kohotek. I got back at him, though. Him and that little boy of his.
That terrifying, terrifying music.
Yeah, I don't know what the background is between Skinner and Kohotek is, but I'm kind of interested now.
And apparently we're never going to find out, because they haven't mentioned it since.
I don't think so. I think Principal Kohotek has quickly been forgotten. Bart writes down the results for Skinner as he details to him for about, like, 5 minutes, and then Bart quickly stops, because I think he realizes it's futile, because Skinner is like, I pulled... From the news group, there is a person who detailed all the things about astronomy and everything that happens when you use it and the degrees and stuff. But Skinner is very, like, down to minute details, searching the sky for anything. And he is super excited, which I find very enjoyable. But Bart quickly loses interest. Skinner doesn't find anything except for the weather balloon, the Big Butt Skinner. I'm a Big Butt Skinner balloon. And goes after to chase it. While he's gone, Bart discovers the episode's namesake, I guess.
Yeah. Woo! All hands on deck! Pirates off the port bow! Hey. Observatory, this is Bart Simpson. I see something in the sky at 4, 12, 8, and last number is 7.
Got you, my rumpy doppelganger. I've got it. Hey, what are you doing? Give me that phone.
Congratulations, Bart. You've just discovered a comet.
No! No! No!
I wanted to include
poor Skinner.
I wanted to include those notes, even though there's no real audio cues to what he's knowing about. But the second one is because he loses the balloon. Then the third no is because the newspaper thrown in front of him says, "Prez says school is for losers."
That's the best one.
I mean, I don't think that was I don't think it's ever been an official policy from any president, but it is funny.
I don't know. Reagan probably said that at some point.
I don't. Last time I talked bad about Reagan, I don't want to hear it, Matt. We can't. No, we're.
That's okay. You get the email. I don't have to hear it.
Okay, you guys, Matt, this is all Matt, all right? I'm staying out of this.
That's true, and you can't contact me anyway, so hey.
Oh, then with the third no, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see that the family is sitting down to dinner. Homer is telling us about his day, which apparently some sort of crime he committed that he then sped away with no one seeing his license plate, which good job, Homer. Then Bart explains to the family about what happened for him, and even as a newspaper that says, you know, boy discovers comet, and which he is referred to as a Springfieldianite. Is this the first time we hear Springfieldianite?
I don't know for sure, but I feel like we've heard it before.
Have we? Okay.
It feels like we have.
It felt fresh to me, so I was just wondering. And now the whole family knows that Bart discovers a comet, and people are always crazy. Marge is, of course, very proud of Bart, and Bart takes this opportunity to poke at her a little bit, but you've always been proud of me, right? To which Marge responds, yes, of course.
Oh, poor Bart. Poor Bart.
Yeah. The next day at school, Bart is headed to lunch when he is stopped by Database for introductions.
The first student at Springfield Elementary to discover a comet, we're very proud to make you a member of our very select group. Welcome to Super Friends.
Huh? Welcome, Super Friends.
I am called Ham, since I enjoy ham radio. This is email, cosign, report card, Database, and Lisa. Your nickname will be Cosmos.
Well, I'm done eating. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Cosmos!
Bye-bye!
The Super Friends.
Although
I want to say one thing. Go ahead.
Uh-oh. What is that one thing, Matt?
I'm just going to say, if that kid is really into ham radio and he's actually passed his test and is a licensed ham, that is damn impressive for an elementary school kid, because that test is hard.
I love the Super Friends. They're all amazing. I love that the fact that they had all those voices be slightly out of sync with each other.
Oh, yeah. So you can hear everyone individually.
Yeah. And Matt Groening has gone on record. He says that Database is one of his least favorite characters, except when he says he's allowed to say like one thing. And then if he overstays that like one sentence, he immediately hates him.
Wow. That's awful. Database is one of my favorite characters, probably because he acts a lot like me, sounds a lot like me. Yeah. I just wish there were that many nerdy kids in my elementary school. Like, not even close. It was like me and one other kid.
But anyway. There was one other nerdy kid in elementary school that I liked. We both liked The Simpsons.
That's good enough.
I don't think I was big enough. Like, I don't think when you're a child that were you consider yourself a nerd when you were like third grade or whatever, fourth grade?
Yeah, pretty much. I enjoyed reading and I did not like being outdoors. Therefore, I was a nerd.
That's okay. All right.
I mean, in elementary school, that's all it really takes. Is it? Is oh, you actually want to come to school and learn things? You're a nerd.
All right. I don't, but I did not have a full grasp on what I was. I just love The Simpsons, and we traded diskettes full of WAV files on it.
Diskettes, oh my God.
3.5 inch.
And we, yeah, at least there were 3.5 and not 5.25.
And I'd make all the sounds on my computer, Simpsons sounds.
Well, of course, that's what you did back in the 90s. You did that, and you changed your cursor eventually.
Oh, I did. It was Homer's hand. Bart is also, I love that Bart is Cosmos.
Well, yeah, because Cosmos is like the best name ever.
I'm going to ask a question right now, Matt. You did not include the Super Friends song?
I did not include
the Super Friends song. Why did you not include the Super Friends song?
It's like 2 seconds long.
I don't care. I want to hear the Super Friends song. We all do. We all love
the Super Friends. You'll hear it, just not them singing it. As Robbie is saying, after Bart attempts to leave, Database mentions that he should show them his comet sometime. And Bart immediately turns around and goes, oh, yeah, it's right there. And they immediately do not believe him. But once Bart insists that he is, in fact, correct, and they all look around. And sure enough, there is the comet flaming in the sky, way too big in the sky to the fact that it's not already hit them seconds later. But of course, everyone except Bart realizes that this is a very, very bad thing. And Bart is a little perturbed that Lisa has once again found something to be wrong with something he has done, because that's all Bart cared about. The Super Friends then proceed to go to the observatory, where they ride their bikes up, and they sing the Super Friends song. Robbie, are you going to sing with me?
No.
Oh, okay.
Protest. Okay. I want the real
Super
thing.
The Super Friends song is, "We are the Super Friends." To which Bart replies, "Shut up."
It's not a real thing, Matt. I appreciate your singing, but I want both. I'd prefer you to we'd have the actual original, and then you could sing along. That'd be okay. I'd allow that.
Oh, well.
The Super Friends song is...
I'm sure it's somewhere on the internet that you can go find it.
Matt, I watched this whole episode and recorded the entire thing. Of course, yes.
Are you done now? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Okay. Official complaint.
That's fine. Like I said, the trash can is right here for your official complaints.
That's not very nice, Matt.
Well, you know, I'm not a nice person. And they discover that, yes, the comet is headed directly for them. Dun, dun, dun. They then blow the doomsday whistle, which I guess Springfield has.
I appreciate the fact they have a whistle that is only for doomsdays.
Well, yeah, I imagine there are a lot of those popping up in Springfield. You know, it's important for the town to know. It's really the only way to get out the message that death is coming for all of them.
My question is, I just love the fact that Grandpa and Jasper are just sitting in front of like a 40s, like a Andy Griffith style general store.
That's even like before Andy Griffith. That's like a 19th century general store.
I guess that's true. It could. It's old timey. It's wooden.
Yeah. Well, you have a doomsday whistle. That's the kind of thing that goes with the doomsday whistle. As old people just hanging out outside, waiting for doomsday.
Waiting for death.
Yep. Then we see a town meeting where everyone discusses the comet. Mayor Quimby has come back to Springfield. His bad. We then get to see a wonderful slideshow about what they expect the comet impact to look like. And you see the town. It's all nice. And then the town is engulfed in fire with Moe's Bar right at the epicenter. I think this is our first confirmation that Moe's is directly in the center of town. So
there's also charred corpses.
Well, of course, lots of charred corpses. That's what happens, you know. Then, of course, they decide to put Professor Frink in charge of repelling the comet. He has a nice little model he made that shows them launching a rocket to intercept the comet, causing it to blow up and still burn down Moe's, unfortunately. Poor Moe.
Poor. Oh, God, no.
Once this has been established, everyone walks outside, looks up the comet, and laughs, knowing that their future is secure in super science, or mad science, I guess. If it's more Frink's more mad science than super science, but you know,
he's at the junction between mad and super science.
That's true. Sometimes he's on one, sometimes he's on the other. One side is flying motorcycles. One side is you know, 8 machines and teleporters that combine your DNA with that of fly. You know, half of one, 50% of the other.
Or no. Yeah, okay. That's great. that classic idiom. Half of one, 50% of the other. I remember hearing that from my grandpa when I was just a wee little lad.
When you talk about super science, that's a real thing.
Okay, sure. Sounds good, Matt.
Anyway, Lisa is, of course, still perturbed because Lisa understands, you know, math and logic and preparation. But on the way home, Homer chastises her for this position.
Will you all stop worrying about that stupid comet? It's going to be destroyed. Didn't you hear what the guy in the building said?
But, Dad, don't you think...
Lisa, the whole reason we have elected officials is so we don't have to think all the time. Just like that rainforest scare a few years back. Our officials saw there was a problem and they fixed it, didn't they?
No, Dad, I don't think...
There's that word again.
It's important to know you do not have to think if you have elected officials. So all of you out there who live in democratic countries, don't bother thinking. The elected officials, the government, will take care of all of that for you.
Do you think we have any listeners that aren't in democratic countries?
I don't think. I guess it depends on how corrupt that government is. Oh. There are a few South American nations that we might have a listener in, maybe.
I see IP addresses from like lots of different places, but I'm not necessarily sure those aren't just people using VPNs.
Definitely possible.
But I don't know.
Anyway, then the town essentially gathers to watch the rocket blow up the comet. The newspaper has a great little gag of a rocket to kick comet's tail. The Simpsons are on their roof in folding chairs to watch it. And
Matt.
What?
Did you not get Homer's twiddling thumb twiddling bit? Did you not pull that?
I did not. No, was not funny
enough. Second official complaint. Second.
There was a high bar for the clips for me for this episode. I just did not feel like that met the bar after this
performance introduction. I.e. you were lazy. Is that the answer?
No. I had standards.
Standards. Okay, sure. My standards find that both the Super Friends song and that Homer's thumb twiddling song is very funny.
Well, good for you.
And it sounds a little bit... Here, I'll do an impersonation of it because you can pull the clip. Do-do-do, do-do-do. I'm twiddling my thumbs for those. I mean, you can't see that, but you can hear. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, for someone who loves this, you really got the tune completely wrong. That's impressive.
It doesn't... I'm a creative type, Matt. You can't constrain me like that.
You're already you're bebopping. You're improvising.
Mm-hmm. Jazz. Everything's jazz.
Of course, you're jazz thumb twiddling. Of course, it's jazz hands part two. Anyway, the missile is launched and unfortunately completely misses the comet. And Homer's backup plan is like, we'll just drive out the last bridge out of town. We'll go right across that. Unfortunately, the missile misses and hits the last bridge out of town. Because apparently Springfield is an island, essentially. There's only one bridge out of town. No one else can leave any other way. Which is a new Springfield fact we learned in this episode.
Well, I mean, I've seen every single Simpsons episode prior to this has mentioned the only bridge out of town.
Of course. Maybe there were others that are just under construction, so obviously you can't drive on roads that are under construction. So, no other way out of town.
Nope.
And with that, we go to commercial, with them being doomed.
Doom. We are informed by Ken Brockman that the town has 6 hours to live, and everyone inside of it. The only bridge out of town is destroyed. Arnie Pye has a helicopter, which he is reporting from. Why aren't they ferrying people out of town with the helicopter?
That requires way too much.
You're not going to get everyone, but you'll get some. Some people probably. I mean, 6 hours is a long time. And that chasm isn't that wide. You get like maybe 5 to 10 people in that helicopter. No, we don't.
Oh, easily. Okay. They could have completely evacuated the entire town.
Well, there's 30,000 people in Springfield. You can't do that in 6 hours. I don't think, Matt. But he's reporting that that multiple families are trying to jump the gap with their cars and failing. Which is an example of their never give up, never think things out spirit. I do enjoy it. We get a report from Congress that they have a bill to evacuate Springfield, but one of the congressmen tax on a $30 million perverted arts bill rider,
well, of course.
Which does not it ends up tanking the. I don't
because that's how government
yeah,
works.
Yeah, I was gonna. I'm like, I'm just. I don't want. I'm trying not to be that continuity person or like how things don't. But it is a good. There's a lot of like government doesn't work stuff in this, which is I think a very John Swartzwaldian thing. Like government is inherently dysfunctional. Ken Brockman reinforces this by saying that democracy simply doesn't work, and then proceeds to announce that release a full list of all the people that are gay or that he has discovered are gay, which if you actually do the freeze frame joke on it, is all people who have worked on The Simpsons, who all actually had to sign real releases so that they wouldn't sue the company that they work for.
Well, if you have to make fun of people that aren't allowed to sue you is a good start.
Homer is writing down the people he can catch from this list, but the rest of the family are quite worried, but Homer is not.
What's everyone so worked up about? So there's a comet. Big deal. It'll burn up in our atmosphere, and whatever left will be no bigger than a chihuahua's head.
Wow, Dad, maybe you're right.
Of course I'm right. If I'm not, may we all be horribly crushed from above somehow. Okay, if you're that worried about it, let's go down to the bomb shelter.
We have a bomb shelter?
Homer Simpson takes care of his family. Flanders, open up!
So, yes, he takes care of his family by making sure that...
Not killing Flanders.
Yeah, he kept Flanders alive long enough for Flanders to get a bomb shelter. And this is where the finale, like, most of the episode ends with, is this drama in the bomb shelter. This is a very short little gag, but I thought it was hilarious. Flanders welcomes them in, but Homer is impatient waiting for that comet to arrive.
One more hour.
An hour? I can't wait another hour. What's keeping that stupid comet? There it is.
That's my favorite.
Every time that kills me.
Favorite joke in this whole episode is Homer thinks that the comet is knocking on the door. But who is at the door? It is not a comet. It is the entire town, basically. Or at least all the supporting characters you've ever seen, including Waldo from Where's Waldo books. He's hanging out in the background if you have a sharp eye. But
if anyone needs to survive, it's Waldo.
Yeah, but it's everybody. It's Mo, Nelson, Krusty, Barney, Patty and Selma, Reverend Lovejoy, and Mrs. Lovejoy, off the top of my head, there's more. Dr. Hibbert, etc., etc. And Flanders first politely declines them coming in, and despite the fact they are brandishing weapons and broken bottles, they accept the fact that they're all going to die and calmly leave. But Flanders, I guess, has a guilty conscience at that point and all welcomes them all in. Unfortunately, Homer cannot close the door to this bomb shelter, which is kind of an important thing.
Just a little bit, you know. I would be more worried about running out of oxygen, even if they could close the door, but hey.
You just gotta get some of those air holes. You know, Matt? Air holes?
I don't believe air holes are something that bomb shelters generally have. They usually have some kind of air filtration system, but no air holes. That could be bad.
But, like, what about, like, when you keep a turtle in a thing, you gotta put in air holes, right?
That's true. However, generally, if you're in a bomb shelter, you don't want any type of contact with the outside world. That's not filtered through tons of concrete and dirt.
That's why I keep you around, Matt. You got all that science knowledge. But the family, because they can't close the door, someone has to go. The town has an argument about it.
Okay, let's figure out who should stay. Let's see. The world of the future will need laughter, so I'm in.
And it'll need somebody to dispense drinks, i.e. me. And someone will have to run the power. You can do that, Homer.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, let's start again. We'll need laughter, religious enlightenment, gossip. That's Mrs. Lovejoy.
Wait a minute. We all know the one thing we won't need in the future. Left-handed stores. That's you, Flanders.
I'm terribly sorry.
Flanders is the only useless person here. If anyone dies, it should be him.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
So let's kick Flanders out.
Sorry.
Well, sir, sounds fair. Doodaloo, everybody. I'll scream when the comet gets here.
Oh, I'm coming with you, Nettie.
No, sweetheart. You stay here because...
Okay.
I might go mad with fear out there, so Todd, I want you to shoot Daddy if he tries to get back in.
Okay, Dad.
Okay.
Hey, Sarah. Whatever will be.
And
Todd sure knows his way around a shotgun.
He quick to load that shotgun. How old is Todd again?
I believe he's in the same class as Bart.
Okay. and Rod's the and Rod is older.
That's what, depending on who you ask.
Okay, good. Okay, that's acceptable. The town sends out the man whose bomb shelter it is out to die. Well, and Homer in particular, but I think the town is fine.
The person who built the bomb shelter had all the forethought. Yes, he's the one that's going to die. Uh-huh.
Well, and Flanders is that type of guy where he is willing to sacrifice himself for the rest of the people. They try and pass the time by playing a barnyard animal sound guessing game with Mo as the captain.
Interesting.
And it all devolves into it, like, yelling and arguments, and they're all on top of each other, and it's kind of like a pressure cooker in there. And finally, Homer breaks and leaves.
I can't let that brave man out there die alone. I'm surprised and disgusted by all of you, especially his children. I'm going out there. And it was a baby ox.
He's right, you know.
About the ox?
About everything, damn it. Hey, Homer, wait up. I want to die, too.
If you are going, I am going.
Me, too.
Me, too.
I'm out of here. Baby reception in there sucked.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me.
Hey, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, your future's not ours to see. Hey, Sarah, Sarah.
Run!
For the longest time, I thought that's how that went. Que sera, so run.
Que sera, so run. That is, one of my favorite moments from the entire show.
Absolutely.
The town joining Flanders is so good. Go ahead, Matt. You're going to say
something? Never actually heard that song, Que Sera Sera, until then. And now it's probably close to one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, it is, from the 50s. The saying itself is kind of a mistranslation of a saying that has been around since, like, the 16th century. From what Wikipedia is telling me, but the song is one in a Hitchcock movie, The Man Who Knew Too Much, which the Simpsons themselves have parodied. The town comes together singing Que Sera Sera, a very heartwarming moment, but then the comet is approaching, but as it hits the atmosphere, it starts to break apart and ends up landing on top of the hill where the town is congregated, landing right next to a chihuahua. It's smaller than its head, which they come to the conclusion that Homer was right.
We're saved!
Yay! Yay!
Sure makes you appreciate the preciousness of life. Let's go burn down the observatory so this will never happen again.
Yes!
I can't believe that extra thick layer of pollution that I've actually picketed against is what burned up the comet.
You know, what's really amazing is that this is exactly what Dad said would happen.
Yeah, Dad was right.
I know, kids. I'm scared, too.
And that's how the episode ends, with them realizing that Homer was right. How?
That's terrifying.
How?
That should never happen.
I love this episode, Matt.
Every time I watch it, I remember really enjoying it. And then I watch it, I'm like, there is no point in this episode that is not amazing. It is so good.
It does so much. It has a bunch of character, like, in just the background. And this, and kind of, like, we see stuff with Principal Skinner and the Super Friends. And the town, like, all those townspeople in the bunker at the end, plus with Flanders at the end, tremendous Flanders stuff. But we get Bart stuff. We get all the family members get some sort of moment. The writing is super tight. It's super funny. Like, it has that tremendous emotional impact at the end with Flanders, you know, volunteering himself and the town end up joining him.
Just to show you that Springfield is not completely full of malcontents.
Well, and like it has that like kind of Springfield as rabble kind of moment, but then they end up like transcending their inhumanity, I guess, and becoming like wholesome, being like doing the right thing. And and I didn't even mention that the comet ends up destroying the bomb shelter that was inside.
Yeah, it would have crumbled. Apparently, Flanders bought it from the lowest bidder.
I guess so, but oh man, I really really like this episode. I don't know where it's going to end up because it. We'll talk about it, but
yeah,
it's really good. We have a My Favorite Episode submission for this one, which is, I understand it. This is from Izzy, a long-time listener. My favorite episode is 2F11, Bart's Comet. End of the episode, especially as it shows the whole town coming together for what appears to be Armageddon. So, short and sweet, but yeah, it's great. Next up, it's time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group, where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group for the week or two after the episode has debuted and see what people were talking about at the time, see what those early internet nerds thought about the episode and about kind of what stuff, just in general, see if there's anything interesting. They were, I don't know, I'm trying to, a very up, like some people thought this was a great, 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 great episode, and then some people thought it was bad, so I don't know.
Bad, or like the worst episode ever bad?
I don't think I saw any worst episode ever, but I did see a lot of bad. Okay. Bad. Like people, I think people are really hung up on like the continuity thing. Like it seems like that is a root of a lot of it. Like everyone, like several people.
It's 6 years in. They really need to give that up.
I don't think they were understanding what the show was. I think it's as simple as that. They didn't understand where it was going or what it was doing. They wanted it to be more sitcom-y, and it was not going to be that. I mean, it would come back around, sort of.
Yeah.
But it just was not being that at the time. There's also a gentleman who went into extraordinary detail about astronomy and Skinner's rig, telescope.
Nice.
I'm not going to read the entire thing because it is like maybe 1,000 words. It is a lot. I'll read a few bits. Skinner's scope looked like a 60mm refractor on an altitude azimuth mount. Eyepiece was seated in a star diagonal or prism, which bends the light path 90 degrees to avoid awkward viewing angles when pointing the telescope near the zenith. As with all telescopes, the image should have been upside down. Star diagonal will also cause an additional left-right inversion in the image. Let's see. Right ascension is essentially celestial longitude measured eastward from the vernal equinox. Right ascension is measured in sextagesimal hours, minutes, and seconds. Declination is celestial latitude measured from the celestial equator 0 degrees to the north and south celestial poles. I could continue. That he even and he pointed
out. It's really impressive. It's in our notes, and I'm just like, wow, this is very interesting. I'm gonna have to go back and actually read this.
But he also points out several errors that they. I'm guaranteeing that they would have to, of course, simplify it a little bit to even make. He also points out that the comet stuff is a lot of the comet stuff is also inaccurate, which is I assume that all the science in this episode is not structural, is not factual. It is probably
that's a good thing to assume. Yeah, pretty much it, about
yeah, in a fictional comedy, it's probably not necessarily going to be all true. But that it's very interesting, I guess. But that's about it. I'm trying not to get into frothing rage from the people who think episodes are bad anymore. I'm trying to calm down, relax. With that, we move on to our next segment. It is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite episode with a number in it? Excluding the Trials of Horrors. Tons of great answers. Seeing a lot of the same because there's a few notable ones right off the top that many people like. Let's see. First, Mitch at Mitch Doyle 13. Dude, 2 Dozen and 1 Greyhounds. I like the episode, but I really like the vest. Simpsons Today at Simpsons Today. Homer's Triple Bypass, a classic. Cloud goes up, cloud goes down. Bed goes up, bed goes down. Joseph at the Joseph Majika. Also happens to be my favorite episode of all time. 22 short films about Springfield. Kayla agrees. Came here to say the same. The Pulp Fiction spoof is brilliant and a classic. Daniel, The Summer of 442. Every single character is in top form in that episode, to the point that almost every line of dialogue is a classic quote. This day, I still say, nice doggy, anytime I see a horseshoe crab. Brendan, Homer vs. 18th Amendment. Hey, everyone, I'm the Prime Minister of Ireland. Includes one of the best one-off characters in Simpson history, Rex Banner. I'll get you, Beer Baron. No, you won't. Yes, I will.
Won't. No.
Alice, it's gotta be Homer vs. 18th Amendment. Banner. Listen, Rummy, I'm gonna say it plain and simple. Where'd you pinch the hooch? Some blind tiger jerking suds on the side? Barney's reply. Yes.
Yes.
Pat, his answer, one fish, two fish, blowfish, bluefish. Try something new, Homer. What will it hurt you, Homer? I've never heard of a poisoned pork chop. It's true. Nick, two bad neighbors. If they don't think George Bush will go into the sewer, they don't know George Bush. Norman's answer, and Maggie makes three. All other responses are irrelevant. Do it for her. I mean, I can't argue. We just did rank it fairly high. Brian, 22 short films about Springfield. It's such a great showcase of the side characters in Springfield. I've said this before. Skinner and the Superintendent is the most perfect Simpsons scene ever crafted. And finally, Ryan's answer. Summer 4'2". New England-inspired locale is nicely realized in terms of architecture. Summer home design is fantastic, not to mention the downtown area attractions, the small fair, and the beach plays host to the most pivotal scene in the episode, Bart's revealing to Lisa's newfound friends her hitherto unknown past as a nerd. The episode is filled with great scenes and gags, Homer sneakily including illegal fireworks in his list of otherwise embarrassing purchases, and later hurriedly tossing the mating into the oven before it explodes. The dating game scene is classic. Hey, Poindexter, he looks like you! to say nothing of the fantastic character development we get for Lisa. Finally, this episode has one of my favorite shots in the series, with Lisa being bounced up and down by her friends while Bart approaches ominously in the distance and Lisa noticing him getting closer each time she reaches the apex of her bounce. It's a really great episode. Matt, what is your answer?
It's really tough. I honestly have to go with 22 short films around Springfield. Summer of 4'2" and Homer vs. the 18th Amendment are very, very, very close. But 22 short films about Springfield is so eclectic, and I love seeing all of them. You know, even the ones that don't have anything to do with the Simpson family themselves, they're just, there's a little bit of everything. And when Professor Frink runs the camera at the end, it's just, it's so amazing. It's one of my favorites of all time.
You surprised me.
Really? Do you think it was going to be Homer versus the 18th Amendment?
No, I was expecting Summer 4'2", which is my answer. I absolutely love Summer 4'2". It is a probably my favorite Lisa episode, and it is has so much in it and really captures the feelings of I don't know, identity. I think a lot of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons relate to that theme, and that one in particular is spectacular. Next week's question: what is your favorite science related moment? I'm gonna leave that just leave it out there. Take it as you will, guys. Post this question on all our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Matt, it is time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge. For Matt and I, we challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. This season, we have a wager. Whoever host doesn't win has to mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. I don't think I'm going to be in this country by the time we finish this season, but we will see what happens.
It's true. We'll have to leave it up to your wife to record you.
I may not have a lawn. We'll see. With no theme.
We'll find something for you to mow.
Yeah, exactly. No theme this week. But so we are kind of freewheeling. I picked my own. I assume Matt generally does the same, but I don't know. Matt, start us off. Give me an easy question.
All right, your easy question, which we probably have done before. What is Homer's favorite brand of beer?
Duff beer.
That is correct, sir.
Ooh, got a point.
Starting out good.
Yeah,
keep
I know.
Going. Keep the streak alive.
Yeah, keep the streak alive. Yeah, that always happens. Your easy question, Matt. All these questions are from The Canine Mutiny.
Oh, yes.
An episode I wrote about for our Patreon. Under what name does Bart fraudulently get a credit card?
Santos L. Halper.
That is correct. That is correct. Give me a medium question.
All right, sir. Your medium question. In The Fat and the Furriest, what animal is Homer afraid of?
A bear?
That is correct. That didn't take any time at all. I am impressed.
I vaguely remember that episode. Your medium question, Matt. And this is, it's always hard to tell with you what's actually easy medium. I'm not sure if I was going to flip the medium hard questions for this, but we'll see. What is the name of the blind man that adopts Santa's little helper?
Name.
Yes.
Do they even say his name?
They do
indeed. Or is it just on his mail at the end?
I believe they say his name. Because Bart has to find him.
Right, right.
I believe Reverend Lovejoy gives Bart his name.
I have no idea.
Mr. Mitchell is the man's name.
Mitchell. I'm going to watch that episode because I don't think they ever actually say his name.
You want me to pull up the script right now?
If you could, I would appreciate that. Yeah, it's not in the script. Or at least the script I found. It's totally okay. I mean, I'm sure there are other ways of knowing that I should have known.
That's his name. He's in multiple episodes as well.
Really? Okay.
He's in the fish episode with the marijuana legalization.
Of course, that makes sense.
Well, sort of. My hard question.
All right, so your hard question. In Old Yellerbelly, who saves Bart from his burning treehouse and becomes a hero?
Yellerbelly. What season is that from?
I believe that is 12 or 13. Let me go check my
list.
You're always
pulling questions from the seasons I like the least.
I know.
I know I've seen it. I don't think I know any of those episodes by their titles.
14, sorry. Season 14.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, that's 14. It gets a little bit better as they go into the mid-teens. Homer, let's guess.
I'm sorry, it was Snowball 2.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay, Matt, your hard question. What items does Bart get the other members of the family?
Let's see. He gets Marge radio cookware. He gets Lisa Trucker's Choice pills.
Mm-hmm.
He gets, what does he get, Homer? Oh, man. I know Maggie immediately throws away his gift and plays with the box. So I'm going to say a box is the actual gift he gets her. What does he get Homer? Golf shirt. He gets him a golf shirt with his own corporate logo.
That is correct. You're missing one thing. Marge receives one other thing.
Does she receive fish of some sort? Like, I feel like it's a food item.
Gonna have to be specific.
Is it salmon?
How much salmon?
6 pounds?
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
I will give you partial credit.
Oh, partial credit. What'd I miss?
I'll give you 2 out of 3. It was 15 pounds of Vancouver smoked salmon.
Of course, of course.
But she also got a frying pan radio. Lisa did get the pet pills. Homer did a golf shirt with his corporate logo that also smelled like salmon. But I am a just and kind trivia master, so I will give
you partial
credit. You got the fish, you got the salmon, just give the number, but it's pretty close. I have a bonus question from a listener, Matt.
Ooh, hit me.
What? This is from Joey. This is a list. I love the list questions. What are the places on the must-see attractions list when the Simpsons go to L.A. in Angry Dad the movie?
Oh, that is way too new. The 11, tar pits.
11 items.
11? Oh, my God. Let's see. The Chinese theater, the Hollywood sign, the tar pits.
None of those? Nope.
Celebrity homes?
You're thinking the opposite end of the spectrum. It's all dull things.
I have no idea. It's been so long since I saw that episode.
It is. Let's see. We have Watts Towers, Cerritos Auto Square, Keys on Van Nuys, the El Toro Y, the California Incline, the Valley, LAX Long-Term Parking Lot C, the Beverly Connection, the 405/10 Freeway Exchange, Chatsworth, and the Long Beach City College.
Of course. How could I not know those things?
Of course. I mean, obviously. I knew all of them without even looking. I'm not even looking at a list right now.
Sure.
I know all those off the top of my head. I didn't know any. You can send in a theme or true questions for me to hit Matt with any of our aforementioned social media, and I'll try and get him in to an episode. It is time, Matt, for our final segment, the segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show, Matt. I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where's this one go, Matt?
It's really tough. We
just watched And Maggie Makes Three. Is it better than And Maggie Makes Three?
I don't know, because, okay, this episode is funny to the extreme. I constantly laughed. I was always interested. I mean, even when I try and did something else during, when I wasn't capturing clips, I couldn't because it was so funny. I kept looking back. I'm going to say, it's right there with it. I would probably put it right above Maggie Makes Three, but right below I Married Marge.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I would say it's, I agree with you. It is probably right in that area. I'd say it's above Last Exit to Springfield, mm-hmm. for sure. And Maggie Makes Three is so fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
It's it's hard. it's really hard. I mean, do it for her. Do it for
which
her
one is funnier?
Funnier? I think this episode is funnier for sure.
Okay, and Maggie Makes Three has the obvious heart.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and Maggie Makes Three has more of a character study. You know, it says more about Homer and it has obviously that huge emotional punch at the end. This episode has its own emotional punch. It is really heartwarming at the end. I still get goosebumps when the whole town joins Flanders at the end there.
Yeah.
Every time. Like, even when I was cutting the clips to play, I was still getting them again. Like, I'd watch the episode and then just listening to it again makes me, like, you know, it touched me. So, it's so hard. Like, I feel like it is so tight and it works so well in, you know, a lot of times we have criticized those episodes that start with, like, hey, an inexplicable first act, and then it gets to the actual core of what the episode is. This episode actually makes kind of perfect sense in that it eventually, like, it starts with a very small focus thing of Bart and Skinner, and then they discover the thing that eventually, like, spins out into the greater story of the episode about the comet threatening Springfield. We get Springfield as a whole. We get all the family members get a significant amount of time. You get tons of great characters from Moe, from Skinner, from Flanders. Even get some singing, even though it is not a Simpsons original. It's really, you would say you put it right above in Maggie Makes Three?
Yeah, but I'm flexible. It could go higher than that. I mean, I really believe that I Married Marge is a more well-rounded episode, but this episode is so tight and funny, and it does have a heart. Like, it's not very obvious, but it's definitely there. So if you want to move it higher than that, I could probably, you know, see that.
I'm struggling. It's in there, but when you start getting into the top five, I start second guessing myself.
Yeah.
I really like Bart's Comet a lot. I would say right. I think I agree with you. I think that's a good spot for it. Right in front of it, Maggie Makes Three. I think strictly, like, it's a tough call, but I feel like it just, like, it does have not as much of an emotional punch, but it still is there, and just everything else about it. Like, I think it represents this era of The Simpsons extraordinarily well.
Indeed.
Okay. It kind of pains me to move in Maggie Makes Three down, but
yeah.
But I'm going with my gut, and that's why I'm saying Bart's Comet, a new number six. We just had a new number six, and we have another new number six.
Yay!
Yeah, Bart's Comet, number six, behind I Married Marge, right in front of it, Maggie Makes Three. Number one is still Cape Fear, but who knows? Tons and tons of great episodes coming up. Last place, Homer's Odyssey, 110. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let me look at my list. Our next episode is Homie the Clown. Very interesting one.
Another very good episode. Krusty-centric, strange, absurd. We'll talk about
which is always the best.
Yeah.
When it's absurd, that's when it gets good.
He's already dead. we'll talk about that next week. Hope you guys join us. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided to descend into the depths of hell. That's right. This weekend, I will be in South Florida. So if you see somebody who's practically dying on their feet, that's probably me. Just go ahead and give them a splash of water in the face.
You're going to have to be more specific if you're... And I was about to say you bought Doom, because Doom.
I know
Doom's good. New Doom's good.
Yes. I wish. Well, obviously,
it's fun. No, definitely was not an obviously before it came out. With that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie,
and I'm Matt,
and keep watching the Simpsons.